Well, we're going to stay in our seed series. Amen? So if you've been with us on Sundays, we've taken a couple of Sundays now, and we've ministered concerning this seed. Have a couple of avocado seeds that I left on my desk. I didn't bring them with me today, and I didn't want to send Daniel to go get it when he already went and graciously picked up my iPad for me because it needed to be charged. But with that being said, we've been talking about a seed, and I would hold it up, you understand, because you can see an avocado seed. And what we have been communicating is there's something, there's potential hidden within. We know it's an avocado because it produced the fruit. So seeds are known by their fruit. So again, the Bible says he knows the end from the beginning. And so the Lord calls a fruit something or a seed something because he already knows what it will produce. Hallelujah. Amen. Which means when he spoke into that thing, it should do, it will perform what it was designed to do. And as we've taken some time, you know, we started a lot in Luke chapter 8, verse 11. It says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. So the greatest thing you can do is get the word of God in you. Amen. Amen. The greatest thing you can do is get the word of God in you. All right. Now, again, you need to keep the word in you. You need to allow the word to affect your life and to grow in your life. Okay, and we're going to see this a little bit tonight concerning some things because everything you need is in the seed. And we're going to talk very directly about that seed on Sunday based upon what God just gave me right over here on the other side of this platform. We are going to communicate this thing in such a very specific way that it will strengthen you. Okay, it will encourage you, but it also will reveal your responsibility to the seed. Okay, because God is so good. Jesus is so gracious. He will not invade your life. He will not do it. He will not invade your life. Now, he will be merciful, long-suffering. He will do everything he can to draw you, but he will not invade your life. He will allow you to do what you want to do. I've got a thing written on my board that I got based upon some things I was meditating on, and it says this, you can do anything you want to do. God will let you do anything you want to do, but you'll just be held accountable for whatever you do. The thing is, a lot of times we think because we do actions right now that, and we get away with it, so to speak, that it seems as though it's not a big deal. But the reality is there's nothing that's happening under the sun that's not being recorded. The Bible says that in the end, okay, I think we can all agree on this, that everybody dies, right? Unless we're caught up, right? And even then, our bodies is going to change, so we're not staying in this suit, right? We're not staying in this suit, so this suit's either going to die and release us or to be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye. We've all had enough experience in our own personal life to see people leave their bodies. Right. We've seen this. So we know there's something that's got to take place past. Now, you could be of the persuasion nothing takes place, and that is a belief, and God will let you believe that. He will not stop you from believing that. He may try to encourage you to not believe that. He may give you plenty of evidences to communicate that's probably not the best way to think, but you can. You can. And the scripture, which is infallible, says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ the Lord, which means this, there's not anyone who's ever been birthed in the earth that won't have a day with the Lord. The question is, what kind of day is that going to be? Will it be a day of rejoicing that will be?
Yeah.
Right? Or will it not be? But it will be. Say it will be. Turn to your neighbor and say, you will see Jesus face to face. So the Bible is very clear at the end of Revelations. Are y'all with me? That he's opening up books. Now, for the believer, he opens up the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes. And he sees your names in it. But that's not the only book he has. Because there's a whole other thing we have to do with Jesus called the judgment seat of Christ. And he will judge us based upon what we did in Christ. We'll probably talk a little bit more about that Sunday. But if you're not born again, then the Bible says when your name's not located in the Lamb's Book of Life, he'll shut that and open up some other books. And they will be your charges. Your rebellion against the kingdom. And he will be just and righteous in his judgment. That will happen. Hallelujah. That will happen. And I can rejoice in that. You know why I rejoice in that? Because you know what? When you're in this dispensation we're in right now called grace, which is not grace that says you get away with stuff. That's not what grace is. Grace empowers you to actually live a totally different existence. That's what grace is, okay? Because Jesus was full of grace and didn't blow it ever. In fact, if he would have blown it once under grace that he had, he would have been no good to die, because he would have been without, he would now have a spot or a blemish. He would not be the Lamb without spot or blemish. So the grace of God, because the Bible says that he grew with favor of both men and God, and he was full of grace. So if he was full of grace, that grace obviously has the ability to cause you to resist temptation, stay away from it, and to not actually do it. Because we know Jesus, the Bible says, was tempted on all accounts, yet without sin. What is sin? Disobeying the Father's way of doing things. He never became unrighteous in his earthly ministry. Now, he took on our unrighteousness on the cross. I always point here, even though it's not a cross, but it's here, guys, right? Okay, so he took all that on the cross, dies, but on the third day, he's raised from the dead. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He's raised from the dead. And so Jesus Christ then, being the Word, his word is alive. He's never been defeated. I said he's never been defeated. And he deposits his word in us. Okay? So we said seed is the potential for harvest. Plants are the process for harvest. Fruit-bearing seed is the purpose for harvest. All right? And we were in Genesis on Sunday, and we saw that when God originally created the planet, he created on the third day, say the third day. On the third day, he spoke how seeds would operate from now on. And they've listened since the third day. After the Noadic flood, Noah's flood, the plants still did what was spoken on the third day. The Bible doesn't say when he, you know, killed off humanity, except for Noah and his family, because he judged them because they were exceedingly wicked, and he regretted creating them. But he has to have a covenant, right? He's got this covenant. He's already given it to man, so he can't annihilate them. And he's got a seed coming. I said he has a seed coming. His name's Jesus. All right, so he's got to keep a bloodline going, because he's got to get a man in the earth. He's got to have himself wrapped in man. He's got to become man so he can redeem what man lost. But he doesn't have to replant. In fact, after he comes out, we'll probably get to this maybe, I don't know. We only got about three more services here on seed. But when he comes back and he tells Noah, he says, from now on, seed time and harvest. Which tells us there's a seed time. And then there's a harvest time. And here's the thing. If you don't understand the value of the seed, then you're not going to make it to harvest. Right. Number one, if you have no seed, you are guaranteed no harvest. It's not going to happen. If you have seed, you're still not guaranteed a harvest. Because if you don't treat the seed properly, or do not understand what goes with the seed, how the seed breaks forth, the process that takes place, if you don't continue, if you don't care for the seed, then you won't reap a harvest. You can dig your seed up before it can ever start the process to produce. Are you with me? Okay, so we're in Matthew chapter 13. Can I say this? Because, listen, there's a lot going on in our planet right now. But what you need to do is stir yourself up. okay? Because I'm going to look out, you know, I look out in here and there's some people that I know are going through some significant things in their life. And so I know because of trial, you're hungry for everything I'm saying right now. And I appreciate that. What's very difficult is when you're not going through a trial and all of a sudden you develop this complacency. Now you've got to do something about that. You've got to stir yourself up so that you are like, I've got to hear the word of God because it's the only thing that can really produce life that goes on forever. And so you got to do something to stir yourself up, man, to get yourself excited. You know, because the reality is I can jump, shout, scream, or I can stand behind the platform, hold on to it the whole time and never move and just stare forward. That's irrelevant. What's relevant is, are you receiving God's word into your spirit, man, and saying, I'll make a demand to understand what God is trying to say to me. If you'll do that and say, man, God wants to talk to me. I mean, everyone's in this room because somehow God's touched you. Now, I'll be honest with you. I didn't feel no warm fuzzies with God today. In fact, my wife and I, after I was studying, praying, doing some personal thing, I wasn't studying for tonight. I was just having my own personal saturation. And I came down, talked to my wife. And we were chit-chatting a little bit about just things. She says, you know, I'm praying, you know. I said, yeah, so am I. I said, but man, I'll be honest with you. I feel like I'm in that season, man, that you're doing and you don't feel jack. Now, if you're somebody says, oh, you should always feel Jesus. We don't live by the way we feel. So I guarantee you in your walk with God, if you actually have one, you'll go through a season where it seems like God's nowhere. And yet you'll believe. Yeah. So don't have fairy tales. Right. I remember a particular couple that was getting married and the soon-to-be bride said, you know, I believe we'll never argue. I said, what? No, we'd never. I said, if we both love God and do what he says, we would never argue. I said, well, in one context, yes, that could be correct. But the problem is that 1 Corinthians 7 says you're going to have trouble. And that's scriptural. So get ready. Because the reality is you are a free will. And they will be a free will. And you won't always come eye to eye on an idea. And somebody's going to get upset. And get offended and gonna have to get that off. And I don't know how fast that process will be. Needless to say, they had trouble. They're still together. Hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. They still following God. But that was the mindset. And you're like, that's magical thinking. You say, well, you know, Paul was between two places. Whether to go on to be with the Lord. Basically, it's far better to go now because I'm in prison and life basically stinks right now, literally too, because of where he was at in prison. And man, I just go because I'm right with God. But yet purpose compelled them. So he had to stir himself and say, nah, I'm convinced I got to stay here for you guys. Just look and say, I'm only here for you. Well, you know, you need to arrive to that. Because if you're only here for you, then you've not even gotten into the first phase of maturity. Hallelujah. Babies are all about them, right? Yeah. We love our babies, but man, I mean, they want undivided attention. Yeah. Why are you crying? Don't cry anymore, right? But that's their form of communication. I'm hungry, and if I could get up out of this, you know, bassinet and walk over to the refrigerator and snatch me out a steak, which I have no teeth, and I would gum it until it went down, I could do that. But they're not saying that because they're not even forming those kinds of thoughts. Their stomach is saying, woo! Right? Like Pastor Marcus just did, woo! Saying, woo! I am starving. And so they let out a yell, and you're 3:00 in the morning, wanting to get a nice sleep, right? Come on, moms. Can I get an amen? I want to sleep. and they don't care about your sleep because it's about them. And then they poop on themselves and it's about them. And you got to clean up their mess, but you do it with great joy. But then after a while, you're like, you cleaning up your own mess. Come on, some of you moms are laying in the bed and your kids are like, I'm hungry. Will you go make your bowl of cereal? Am I right? Yeah. No, you'd get out when now you're like, you gotta make yourself something. I'm tired. You go make me a bowl of cereal. Mommy, I'm on the toilet. You're old enough now, wipe yourself. Am I right? Okay. So just look to your neighbor and say, grow up, it's time. Okay. Let's value the seed. Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 and 32 says this. He presented another parable to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like, say it's like. So this is a huge statement. The minute Jesus uses a parable and begins to compare it to the kingdom, it is loaded. I'm just telling you right now, it's loaded. We're going to do two verses of the kingdom of heaven is like, but they are so full, we could preach till Jesus comes back on these two verses. Okay? We could start here and just, boom, hit the rest of the scriptures from here. So the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Now, I didn't bring one today, but here it is. Because basically, if I had it, this is what it would look like to you. It would be stuck between my fingers because I have to keep them together in order to continue to hold it. Basically, just open up your phone, look at a period behind, you know, one of the sentences of the Bible, and we found a mustard seed. Okay? But make sure you have it about, you know, 10 font. Don't put it on 24. That's not a mustard seed. Okay? All right. And so this is a mustard seed. You see it? Yeah. Right. Okay. So the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed into his field. Verse 32. And this is the smaller of all other seeds. But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Mark has this same account of Jesus saying this parable, and it sounds like this in Mark chapter 4, verses 30 to 32. And he said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God, or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and form large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. All right? Now, let's go over to Luke. I'm going to go ahead and read all scripture, all right? And then we're going to elaborate by the Spirit of what's saying. These are the only scriptures I have. I only got two more for tonight. Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6, we're making some connection. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Okay? So there's an analogy here, and he uses it twice. He really used it another time, but I didn't do that one. Two or three witnesses, and I gave you two. Okay? But now he refers to this mustard seed again, but not in the realm of the parable. Okay? In Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6, he says it this way. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So I want more faith, right? I want more faith. Well, that seems like, you know, that's a great thing to ask God. Give me more faith. Give me more faith. You know, increase my faith. And the Lord follows through in verse 6 and says it this way. He simply says, and the Lord says, if you had faith like a mustard seed. If you had faith like a mustard seed. You would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. The next account, we see this in this context, but it's spoken a little different. He doesn't talk about a mulberry. He talks about a different obstacle. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, and he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, the first thing we need to see is that if this was the New King James Version, the New King James Version would not say, if you have faith the size of. The New King James Version says, if you have faith as a mustard seed. or as of a mustard seed. So the word size here in the New American Standard is inserted based upon the fact that he talks about the littleness of your faith. If you were in the New King James Version, it wouldn't say littleness of faith. It would say your doubt or your unbelief or because of your doubt, because you doubt. Okay? And so the reason why I bring this up, because even in the New American Standard, it has these little footnotes. It literally says that FN in parentheses, footnote, and you hit it, and it says literally as. Okay? As. Well, obviously, this translation wants us to know the size of the mustard seed. But size is not what it's trying to key in on. Because we think, well, all we need to do is have faith the size of. When the reality is, it's not the size of. It's the mustard seed. Because the mustard seed is irrelevant in size. What's relevant is what's in. That's what he's trying to get their attention. If you want me to increase your faith, according to the Luke account, or in this account, in context, they couldn't cast a devil out of a boy, is what happened. And the guy comes to Jesus and said, well, I went to them to cast the devil out. He keeps throwing my son into a fire and then in the water, you know. And, you know, if you can do anything. And Jesus said, if you can. All things are possible to him who believes. He says, I do believe, help my unbelief. So he cast him out. And then the apostles come back and say, how come we couldn't do it? And he said, well, it's the littleness of your faith. Eventually, after this verse, he says, some things don't come out but through prayer and fasting. In fact, fasting is not in the original Greek anyway. It's just through prayer. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't fast. Because Jesus says when you fast and when you pray. Okay? My point here is that Jesus is not trying to key in on the size of the mustard seed or the fact that, and when he says littleness of faith, which is a better translation than doubt, because doubt makes it look like they're not believing. Littleness of their faith means they are believing, but they're missing a component. So when you break down this word littleness of faith, it literally means lack of confidence in Christ. That's what it means. So when he says, because of the littleness of your faith, he said, because you lack confidence in Christ. This is the problem. You lack confidence in Christ or in me. You lack confidence. Because I'm telling you, if you could get revelation that it ain't how big something is on the outside, it's about what's in it. Because what's the big deal about the mustard seed? The big deal about the mustard seed is back in Genesis chapter 1 when God said, let there be trees that bear fruit with seed in them. He spoke to a mustard tree because there's all types and those seeds would bear fruit after their own kind. So when he said that, though we get this generalization, he, in that thought, spoke out every type of plant. Every type. Spoke them out. Boom, 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 boom. There they are. That means when that mustard tree manifested with fruit on it, it had seed in it. And that seed that is in that fruit knows when I come out and I'm planted, I am the same size tree that I'm hanging on. Because I have to be this because I've been spoken it. This is what we have to recognize that God is trying to help us when it comes to seed, is that God, the plants do not argue with God about their purpose. They do not quarrel with God of what, will I have leaves? I mean, well, will the sun hurt me? Will I, you know, how much fruit will I bear? I mean, it's comfortable inside this seed. Because when I come out, man, there's things out there. I mean, why do you not operate in faith? Fear. Well, if I What do you mean if you? You're not doing anything anyway. You're only doing what was spoken to you. I mean, you're not healing anybody, but if the Lord says, lay hands on them. Well, that's seed, man. Now you act on that and let him do. See, because seed don't argue. The mustard seed is not saying, I wonder who I am. Will I be a strawberry or a blueberry? Could I be an orange or a grapefruit? No, he knows who he is. The mustard seed knows, I am a mustard seed. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is what was spoken. And this is what I can't help but be what I am. I can't help but grow like I'm designed. The only way a mustard seed does not grow the way it was designed when it was spoken into existence is if man hinders or an environment hinders the process. Hallelujah. So we go back, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took, put in a field, is smaller than the others. Now here's the thing. You got to understand, the word God has in you, I said this to Kingdom First Business Alliance last night. I never said this before, so I'm going to say it to you because it's applicable. God's destined you for purpose. Not only is he destined you for purpose, he has literally said this, they'll know that you're my disciples because of your love for one another. He tells us as disciples that we are to go and bear fruit, and it's not any fruit, not seedless fruit, but fruit with seed in it. Right? That's what we are to do, which means whatever God's put in us, it can manifest. Now, here's the thing. This relationship I have with Jesus, the only part that's about me is initially getting in. The only part that's me concerning God is getting in. That means I'm transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. Now, when that takes place, he wants to plant a seed in me of purpose, which always has to do with someone else. Think about it. The mustard seed, once it breaks out, and it will get out, it will come out of that shell. As fragile as these plants are, man, when they'll break out of that hard shell. I mean, have you ever seen a little bitty plant? I mean, it's like, they're so fragile. I mean, they're not like oak trees don't come out like the big base of the oak. It is. But it will break and it will push through dirt. Which typically when you plant them, you kind of pat that down. It ain't like you just leave it super loose. You know, you kind of help hug it a little bit. And it has to like work itself all the way through to just get out. Yeah. And one part's trying to be seen while the other part is trying to dig deeper in. Yeah. Because I've got two things operating. I got one thing coming out, but I got another thing going deeper down or deeper out that nobody ever sees. But the stronger my root system is, the better I'm going to be out here. So once you break out, you understand, then the Lord says the reason you're out is because you got to do something for someone else. Because the mustard seed, if all it's about producing the fruit of mustard, whatever that is, okay, whatever that is, the fruit, okay, then why do we have the tree? Why do we have the leaves? Well, guess what? It was bigger than just producing the fruit. It actually helped aid other things of creation. Now, a bird has a condo. What's the Bible say? Don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear. Look at the birds of the field. They don't sow or they don't, you know, reap. They're not hoarding up. No, they know the Father takes care of them. The Father says, I'm building you a house. I got a place for you to, I've got all the material laid out. You go pick it. Oh man. The birds go pick the material that God provided. Then they show up at the mustard tree. and assemble the material that God left for them that they went and pulled together. Your life is so much bigger than yourself. But what's happening in the unseen? It's your root system. So what you do, and what I told Kingdom First Business Life, the only part that plays in purpose concerning you is you maintain righteousness. That's it. You must maintain righteousness. If your purpose is going to succeed, you must be righteous. It's got to be. Because if you're not going to be righteous, then you're not going to represent God. Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ, which means your root system is to stay connected to the King. Because if your roots are unhealthy, then we're going to have some problems. So the only thing about your purpose is not, you're not believing God for a house. You're not believing God for a car. You're not believing God for a great job. I mean, my mindset, and it's because it's just kind of how I was taught. He's my personal Jesus. He's my personal Savior. And so this is about Jesus dying for me. Okay, he did die for me. Don't get that wrong. So now that he's died for me, then it's about now he wants to bless me. So when he tells me to go to Atlanta, Georgia, and my wife has family that isn't living for God, this was what I thought our purpose was. Get this. Now listen to how it sounds. The Lord, listen, we're going to go to Atlanta. Man, God's sending us there. You know why? Because your family's lost. And you know how God's going to, I mean, I had this all planned out. You know how God's going to save your family? Because we're going to go to church. And God's going to bless us. And God's going to give us a good job. And our kids are going to be taken care of. And I'm going to get a nice house. And they'll look at our life and say, we need their God. My whole purpose was about me. And if God gave me all my stuff, then how could you, being lost, not want what I have? And there's many people naming it and claiming it for themselves, Bradley. Missing the whole part of purpose. Missing the whole part. I'm here today for you. I didn't come to St. Augustine for me. I've wanted to come for me at times. I've wanted to go to private islands. Because honestly, in the grand scheme of making sure that I go to heaven, I do not need you. We don't need anyone, right? Just me and a Bible. Me, a Bible, and the Holy Ghost. It's about me, my personal Jesus. No, he said, I'm creating a body, a church. We're joining and fitted together. Your purpose is beyond you. You got right for others. Why did Jesus even come to the planet? Not for himself. So why is it all of a sudden it became so personal, just us? No, you personally loved me because you had a plan bigger than my life. That I could, so that I could grow in you in such a capacity that people could get shade. People could have homes. Think about just the possess to serve concept with the mall right now and casting a little vision. Sure, why wouldn't God want us to just find some acres where we can build our own little thing and teach everybody how to just be blessed by God for themselves? We could build that kind of ministry. But yet we could purchase a mall, cause people to come in and create that creates business that basically, because we're allowing a mustard seed to grow, now we're able to give someone a residence. You know, I started a business there. And because of that, now I have this home. And it's because we took possession of something. Because it was bigger than us. And it was worth our fight of faith. That there was potential in what we could do collectively together. So this mustard seed's huge because it's about what's already on the inside. Guys, when God speaks a word to you, that thing has the capacity to reproduce for all eternity. For all eternity. What was within a mustard seed, it's not how, well, I just have a little bit. Well, you got faith like a mustard seed. No. No, that's not the point. The point is, do you believe God in his word and that even if he said one word to you, there's enough in that to change the planet and change people's lives? Now, the reality is, if you're going to live that kind of mustard seed life, then you got to discredit your own. Because you got to do the purpose that's been spoken. Because on Sunday, we'll talk about what it looks like to do your own. Great. Nobody's going to show up now. Okay. I mean, you can avoid it, but it's there nonetheless. It's truth nonetheless. And I would much rather say, yeah, I'm not doing that. Right? I won't be deceived there. I'm going to stay connected. I'm staying in the vine. I said, I'm staying in the vine. So this mustard seed's huge, guys. This mustard seed is so big. It's so huge. It's not about, I just need a, you don't need a little God. You need a word from God that even if it seems like a small word, it has eternity in it. Two of them, I mean, I need something, God, show me something big. God's like, let me just give you a mustard seed. Because son, if you understood what was in that, you'd live your whole life letting it come out. If you understood the treasure within. And we know this because this particular parable is backed up by another one. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman who had some dough and she got a little bit of yeast and stuck it in it. And when the yeast gets in the dough, it's like it disappears and doesn't exist. So what's the next thing we learn concerning both the mustard seed and kicking in this yeast effect right now? Is that the minute you begin to get a word from God, I can guarantee you it will look like nothing has changed. Because if all you're doing is trying to find faith, again, we've preached this. I don't have time to preach it tonight. There is a faith for an immediate, and then there's faith that requires faith and patience. Because God requires us to go from faith to faith, glory to glory. He wants that, which means he's saying in the mustard seed, I've got everything in this word. And it's going to be a process through your lifetime. So don't give up, because what I've spoken has to take place. So why do we quit coming to church? Why do we quit reading the word? Why do we go back into carnality? Why do we allow things to influence us that can hinder the growth and development of the seed that has to do what was spoken into it? It has to. The mustard seed does not argue. It just performs. The yeast does not go in and say, dough, I'm the man. The yeast just says, I'll take a little here. I'm going to take a little here. I'm going to take, and it just slowly takes territory. So eventually, it takes over the whole thing. In fact, when it's in, dough could be like, I don't want you. I don't want you to touch me. No, yeast says, I'm coming. I mean, I'm coming. It's going to happen. I mean, you can stay over there on that side, and I'll go ahead and work this way, but I'm coming around, and I'm going to get to you. This is why Jesus said all things are possible for this individual that could have this kind of mustard seed faith. Nothing would be impossible. Then why? Because they know, hey, don't laugh at my dirt here, because I know there's a seed in it. Yeah. Don't be laughing at my dirt. And then you go by and say, oh, I guess you do have a little plant there. Oh, yeah, I do. Oh, yeah, I do. Don't laugh at it. Next thing you know, it's up more. Don't let nobody laugh at your faith. Don't let nobody laugh at your believing God. Because every time something breaks out, the minute the seed breaks out and starts gives the plant, that's victory. The problem is we're like, woo, all right, look what I got. And then we throw it out. Are you serious? It's still working. Because listen, we go from faith to faith, which means this: I am going to a next level of faith because I look back at the stages of faith in my life, at the faithfulness of God. I'm like, man, when we moved into Gamble Rogers and it was $1,600 for us to rent that place and we had nobody in the church. And I'm not making that much money. How's it going to happen? So I'm planting a mustard seed. Father, I thank you that, Lord, you're going to bring in that supply. You're going to allow us to do this. And we do our first service and a boatload of people show up, but nobody showed up. Basically what that means. I didn't really have anybody new. It's everybody I knew. Thank you. Thank you for saying, hey, you did it, but nobody's here to enjoy it but us who put it on. But it wasn't till Wednesday. You had three people. You're like, that's it. And then, you know, it kind of slowly grows. You know? And I'm like, and then I paid the first month. You're like, Lord, you're faithful. You pay the next month. Lord, you're faithful. And then you pay the next. And then all of a sudden, God says to you from that same seed, because it's in it, he says, it's time to move. Well, where are we going? You're done setting up and tearing down. Okay, Lord, where are we going? And so I'm looking for places and I'm moving. You know, it's easier to move, turn a car moving than it is parked. So I'm looking at all kind of stuff and I'm like, is this it? I'm trying to listen. I'm listening. Well, the Lord got me to the next location through my associate because Pastor Mike went by and says, you know, I saw a place on the way home that maybe it's right for us. Where's it at? So he showed me, and sure enough, I got there. I was like, wow, that's awesome. Yeah, this is it. So I talked with the owner. Next thing you know, we're in. And I went from $2,000 a month, because we, you know, had a little increase, $2,000 a month, and $2,000 a month at Gamble Rogers. Paid the water, electricity, all the toiletries, the janitorial. Paid it all. To $10,000 a month, plus utilities, water, toilet, trees. I didn't realize how much people were wiping themselves. I mean, I wanted to go on square rations. Man, when we need toilet paper again? Nah, man. We're going to get a water hose or something. Something's got to change. I mean, y'all are nickel and diming me with the toilet paper. I mean, what's happening? I walk even in here sometimes and the paper's all, I'm like, what is... Because you ain't paying. You don't, man, people don't care. And I'm talking, you know, five-year-old hands. I mean, that's jumping up, you know. Rip it off. You go in there and there's a whole roll of toilet paper in the toilet. That's why it's not flushing. And you're like, we need to give somebody a class on take a little bit off. You don't pull the whole roll. You don't do that. But what got me to whatever, I guess it was probably $15,000 faith. I went from $2,000 faith to $15,000 faith. I look back. Let me tell you, that $15,000 faith was hard. I mean, I had some challenges. Some challenges. But the Lord saw us through. Then we came over here and I became a better negotiator. And so I got more square footage with the same amount. Amen. But you understand, our electric bill is more than most people's mortgages. And you like this AC. I know you do. Because I'd turn it off and put the money somewhere else. Honestly, I could do that. But, you know, we don't because our God's not broke. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, he's not broke. My point is I look back. And you know what? I'm operating off the same faith seed that I started in St. Augustine. It's not a different faith. It's the same faith. It's, I believe you at your word, God. Hallelujah. Amen. How would you like to go from $13,000 a month, which we're paying now, to $45,000, $50,000? Don't let it bother you. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. No problem. Because he's not broke. Now, you understand. Say, do we have to go? We don't have to go monthly. God could have one guy write a whole check and pay the whole thing off today. No problem with me. I'm sowing for those types of things to take place. But you understand this? I don't want one individual to get the harvest off paying our stuff off, and you don't get a harvest off of it at all. I'd much rather you just sow into it. Because here's the thing about seed. Seed produces after its own kind. So I have faith to faith in believing for the purpose that I've been assigned. And I'm growing. It's not new seed. It's the seed that broke into a plant that produced the fruit of $1,600 a month. That then produced a $2,000 a month. Because after I was doing able to do that, then that season left. I need to do a little pruning, and we came to two. And from there, we did a little pruning, and we came to 10. Did a little pruning, now we're where we're at 13. And that's just the rent. And that's really a great price for St. Augustine, just to let you know. Okay? So with that being said, what's the next one? And it was in the seed the whole time. I want you to go to St. Augustine. I almost said Pastor David's. You're going to go to St. Augustine, where you're going to plant a church, ignite the city, impact the nation, influence the world. And in that seed, all this is taking place. It just keeps producing. Why? Because I don't quit on it. And I've had marvelous opportunities to quit. But in that seed, in order for things, if I want love, I sow love. If I want joy, I sow joy. If I want finance, I sow finance. Because again, no seed, you're guaranteed no harvest. So I realize that if I'm going to reap in every area of life, I sow forgiveness. Because people have done wrong at times, and they come back and say, some come back and say, will you forgive me? Some never come back, but I forgive them anyway. Why? Because I want people to forgive me when I make a mistake. Yeah. Amen. I mean, I sow to that. Because as a pastor, it's difficult if a mistake comes. Because people are less tolerant. Oh, well, you're the pastor. You should never blow it. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm a human being like you. But, and, you know, if we look at the years we've been together, that really hadn't happened.
That's good. Right.
But I mean, how many counseling meetings have I taken you through? But you sow towards these things. That's what I'm saying. Because everything's in that seed already. Why? Because it was spoken there. So are you coming to have great faith? Yes. But great faith is what's contained with it. It's not how big your seed is. It's not, wow, look at my avocado, or, you know, if we brought the biggest seed up here, look at my seed. That means nothing. What's in it? Yeah. It's not the outside of the container. It's what was spoken within that will come out. Yeah. That's what the Lord's trying to say here. He's saying, listen, the word is the seed. And you know how big the word is? You have no idea how big the word is. None of us do. Because just naturally speaking, we still can't see the end of it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I don't care how big our telescopes are, we still can't see the end of that first word. And it's still growing and expanding space. Still growing and expanding from one word. Wow. That's naturally. We haven't even got into eternity. Something unseen. And if you allow God to speak into you, your life is huge. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we honor you. We thank you. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you for your word. I thank you, Father God, that your word would just grow and grow and grow inside us. Wow. We want you to plant this seed in us. We want this seed planted because we want what comes out. We want the fruit of it so we can go into season upon season upon season where we bear fruit with seed in it, fruit with seed in it, fruit with seed in it, fruit with seed in it. Every season, every season, every season. Because while the earth remains, seed time and harvest. And so that's why we do these things. That's why we desire and hunger for your word. Because life is in your word. Because when the word is spoken, the Holy Spirit's right there hovering to perform it, to start the process that will continue and continue and continue and continue. I myself have not had an incurable disease where I was sentenced to die. But Kenneth Hagin did. And one day he took a seed in of faith concerning healing. When he was 16 years old, and he acted on it. And it bore fruit that day, the day he believed. The action of his belief as he took his paralyzed legs, threw them off the edge of his bed, and he said they hit like a sack of potatoes. He hung onto the bedpost to keep from falling. He said all of a sudden, something hit him in the top of the head, went all the way through his body, something hot like oil, and then all of a sudden it felt like his body was being stabbed with thousands upon thousands of needles. He said it hurt so bad, but it felt so good because I had felt nothing. And he walked out of that room healed that day. The rest of his life was off that one fruit that had seed in it. If you've ever written any of his books, he said, I know what death feels like. I've died three times. And it's tried to come on me more than one time. But I stood looking back at the same seed that he had when he was 16 and got healing, and he kept it. I said he kept it. And so the rest of his life until he got satisfied. For his confession of faith was, if you ever hear that I'm gone, you'll know that I was satisfied. And the testimony is, because I've talked with his son, who obviously is extremely close to his father, of these specific events. He said his dad, that night, spoke to a couple that was helping him and his wife out. They would cook, they served them. And says, told the lady, you know, in the morning, cook me one more meal, one of those breakfasts, one more of those breakfasts. The next morning, he got up, sat down at the table. His wife sat at the other end. They served him. He took some bites, looked at his wife, smiled, and was gone. They took him into the hospital. You know, they kept him on, you know, with oxygen, but the family realized, they came, you know, believing for a resurrection. You know, is this really happening? Is this time? Is it? Both Pastor Hagin and his sister at different times in the room heard the Lord say, knew in their spirit, and another time, Brother Hagin came to, looked at his son, and nodded at him, and then was gone. He said, I knew. We don't need to hold him. He's done. When they did his autopsy, they said he had the heart of a 40-year-old. He died at 86. The very organ that said would kill him was 40 years younger in his body. Because he kept speaking. Because the word was alive and it quickened his mortal body. These principles of the kingdom can continue to bear fruit in every season of our life if we'll maintain our righteousness. This seed of faith we've already planted in you has the capacity to take you the rest of your life. All you have to do is believe, and there's no obstacle. There's not a mountain you will encounter that with the seed, the faith the size of a mustard seed, that you can't conquer it. It's already been planted. All you have to do is learn to go from faith to faith, glory to glory.